Have you ever heard of the reign of Captain Quigley? It sounds as if he was once king of a domain, doesn't it? But that's not the type of reign we're thinking of. We're thinking of this kind of reign. Stand by for adventure. Falling fast, which only tends to increase the feeling of warmth and comfort that Dr. Juan Avillo's living room exudes. On such a day, a fire is a happy thing, and the four friends are thankfully grouped around the fireplace. As usual, there's the host, Dr. Avillo, Major Gordon, Army officer, Richard Moore, correspondent adventurer, and Captain Quigley, merchant skipper. Dr. Avillo expresses the sentiments of the group when he says,
"Well, my friends, there's nothing like a warm, cheerful fire on a cold, rainy day like this one.
Puts one in a mood for a cheerful story. Something a little less gruesome than Dick Moore might regale us with."
"Now, wait a minute, Major. I think the last one you told topped any of mine."
The captain is rather quiet tonight. Do you know any cheerful stories, Captain Quigley?"
"I don't know any stories at all. Wouldn't tell one if I did."
"Oh, has the rain got you down too, Captain?"
"Well, I do feel a mite sorry it had to happen, Major."
"Oh, cheer up, Captain. You're not responsible for it."
"Oh, there, son. Who says I ain't?"
"You are not by any chance a believer in that childish superstition that stepping on certain insects causes rain."
"Now, Doctor, that ain't fair. You know darn well I'm the least superstitious man alive. Well, it's just that voodoo rain spell that I'm thinking of."
"You mean a chant of some kind supposed to cause rain?"
"Sort of. I was shipwrecked off Haiti a good many years ago."
"The number of times you've been shipwrecked, Captain, doesn't speak very well for your ability as a navigator."
"Well, as I was saying, on one of the few times that I was shipwrecked, I got acquainted with a real old-fashioned voodoo doctor. As nice an old gent as ever stuck a pin into a wax doll. We spent a good many hours together playing cribbage. And in the course of time, he taught me this little spell for making rain. It was a simple little verse, but I never could get the inflection just right. Sort of sing, 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 song, up and down, kind of crooning. Heard a fellow on the radio the other night that could have done it fine, but I never did get the hang of it somehow. Not till about a year later. I was sitting out on deck, looking at the stars and enjoying one of them tropical nights, and then, without thinking, I was crooning this voodoo spell over and over. All of a sudden, out of a clear sky, you know, it starts to pour. Regular cloudburst. And I says to myself, 'Quigley,' I says, 'you're going to catch your death cold someday if you ain't careful what you say.' But then, of course, I figured it might have been coincidence. So, the next night, I tried it again. And darned if I didn't bring on the worst tropical storm of the year. Well, sir, every time I got out on deck during a spell of clear weather, I just had to show off. I got myself caught in so many cloudbursts that one day I come down with pneumonia. But I'm glad to say I never did use this voodoo hocus-pocus for personal gain. Just one time. And I ain't ashamed of that on account of the circumstances. I was at a grudge ball game between the Giants and the Dodgers. The Dodgers had been putting up a good fight and providing first-rate entertainment, but they were still losing. So, right smack in the middle of the eighth inning, I went into my chant and I called down the gall-derndest cloudburst that ever wet down the trees that don't grow in Brooklyn. Well, naturally, they called the game on account of rain. And I didn't lose the little bet I just happened to have on the Dodgers that day. Well, sir, as the years went by, I lost interest in the weather, except as a topic of conversation. A good many of the boys I sailed with began to blame me for every gale and storm that blowed up. After a while, I just laughed the whole thing off and got down to business. I figured the reign of Captain Quigley was over. As it would have been, too, if I hadn't landed one day on the meanest little island off the coast of Africa. Why, the natives were so primitive there that they hadn't even heard of me. They just took me to the interior of the island, showed me a pit about 18 foot deep, introduced me to the sacred lion that lived there, and tossed me in without even asking for some famous last words. Well, I knew just how Dan'l felt a good many years back. And I knew, too, that an old sinner like me would just have to make the best of it. So I sat in one corner, and the lion, he sat in another. And each of us waited for the other to make the first move. All of a sudden, this critter, he opened his mouth, and he let out the most terrifying roar you ever heard. Yeah? Well, sir, that lion just licked his chops and grinned at me wicked-like. I could feel him thinking to himself, here's a nice choice morsel. No ration points, no ceiling price. All I got to do is to chew him careful and look out for bones. Lucky I had sense enough to look around. That pit was cut out of solid rock. Way up above, I could see the clear blue sky. The sides of that pit was absolutely vertical, and I knew there wasn't a chance that I could climb out, even if that lion was inclined to give me a sporting chance. And then, sir, all of a sudden it hit me. An idea, I mean. Simplest thing in the world. So simple that I had to laugh. The lion looked a bit puzzled to see me laughing, but beyond that, he didn't seem to mind. He figured it was all right for his dinner to enjoy itself along with him. So, before he has time to change his mind and indulge in a tasty sample of Quigley, I breaks into my voodoo rain spell. And this time, you know, I really turned it on. Well, sir, in 1 minute, there was 2 foot of water in that pit. In 5 minutes, we was both treading water to keep afloat. A few minutes later, he was going down for the third time, and I was swimming around happy as a minnie. I was floating on my back, enjoying a refreshing bath by the time that pit filled completely up and begun to spill over. Well, I swam over to the side, and I clumb out, saying a little prayer of thanks and regretting that I hadn't let that old voodoo doctor beat me at a few more games of cribbage. But my troubles wasn't over yet. No, not by a long shot. Because them natives, they acted like I'd played a trick on them, and they popped me right into the hooskow. Next day, I see them putting up a stake, bringing out a good supply of kindling wood. So I says to myself, Quigley, I says, formal-like, Quigley, you're in for the local brand of hot foot. Them boys are planning to burn you at the stake. You got to discourage them from playing with fire. Well, I guess I don't need to tell you that that island was in for a bad spell of weather. No sooner would a ray of light show through the clouds than I'd go into my voodoo chant. I crooned that darn thing so many times, I figured there wasn't a dry stick of wood on the island. By the end of the week, I was hoarse from singing in the rain. And the natives had fired 6 witch doctors and called out the reserves. Finally, they caught on, you know. They caught on that it was me causing all this rumpus. And the chief, he had me brought over to the royal hut. Well, this hut had been built on the edge of a little rill that had by now been turned into a raging torrent. Reminds me, that royal hut had a name. What was that now? Something, something like Hut Sut on the... Rillaray. But since I never did understand the language, I can't say for sure. So as I was saying, I had a big powwow with the chief and managed to convince him that my life for a spell of dry weather would be a fair swap. Well, we rubbed noses on the bargain, and I figured my troubles was over. Of course, I'd forgot one little thing. Next time it rained of its own accord, I found myself in an embarrassing spot because they thought I'd reneged on my bargain. So back I was in the hooskow. Well, this time they gagged me, so there wouldn't be any of that H2O yodeling out of me, and decided to go ahead with a much-postponed execution. Next day, they tied me to a stake, and the whole tribe gathered, and they done the Virginia reel on me. I'd like to have joined them, but the fact that I was tied to a stake, it kind of cramped my style. Well, then the chief, he made a few remarks, which nobody bothered to translate to me, and lit the fire just as nonchalant as you'd like to fight. But this time, I'd worked my gag loose. It wasn't a good gag, as the radio sponsor said to the comedian. So the minute things begin to get hot, I says to myself, Quigley, I says, the time has come again for you to sing yourself a mite of rain. Now, it so happens that just about this time, everybody in the world was singing a little tune, It Ain't Gonna Rain No More. And that darn thing had been running through my head all day. So there I am with them flames creeping closer and the perspiration standing out on my forehead and the melody of that It Ain't Gonna Rain No More running through my head. Well, believe me, I thought I was done for. That voodoo chant had gone clean out of my head. I don't mind telling you, I was embarrassed. The hotter them flames got, the more foolish I felt, trying variations of It Ain't Gonna Rain No More. In fact, I was so darned unhappy that somehow, without thinking, I switched to a minor key. And first thing I know, it's sprinkling, you know. And next, it's pouring. Yes, sir. At last, I'd found the secret of the voodoo chant. The tune of my voodoo chant was really the tune of It Ain't Gonna Rain No More, but sung in the minor key. Simple, pessimistic, ungrammatical American tune, sung like you had a mite of indigestion. Well, sir, at that point, the natives give up trying to kill me. They figured I was some kind of a god, and they treated me like a visiting fireman. Now, if this was fiction, I'd probably have married one of the chief's 22 daughters and ruled that island happily ever after. But that ain't the way it happens in real life. No, sir. They built me a boat and got rid of me just as fast as they could.
And that's the way it happens in real life, eh?
Oh, yes. Dull, humdrum. None of that romantic nonsense that you find in books.
Well, if you will insist in sticking to the facts, Captain Quigley,
Wouldn't expect me to do anything else, could you? Hard, cold facts is the important thing.
And it's still pouring out, Captain Quigley.
Oh, I'm awful sorry about that, Moore. I wish I wasn't so darned absent-minded. On the way over, I caught myself singing that voodoo rain spell, and I hadn't thought of it for years, either.
Well, be that as it may, Captain. It's getting late, and we've got to be going. Suppose you, turn it off and save us the trouble of tramping through the rain tonight. Certainly you wouldn't begrudge your old friends a little dry weather, would you?
No, it ain't that at all, Major. I'd be glad to do it if I could. Only trouble, I never did learn to call it off once I'd got it started raining. Now, I must go back to Haiti sometime and get the second lesson.
Oh, by all means, do that.
The door is closed, and the firelight flickers low as Dr. Avillo, alone again, smiles with affection for his old friend Captain Quigley. But soon the four friends will meet again and talk again and invite you to stand by for adventure.